Yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm Mike from Goat. I'm the drummer.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
The drummer in Goat.
You already said that earlier.
That's all I got.
The intro, dude.
That's all I got.
Say it again.
Don't make me. I'll say it again. I'm going to pass you off to Sheila here. She's got a few more things to say.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to do some kind of a moderating thing and try to think of something interesting. We were talking just now about weight loss and being healthy and everything, and super proud to say that
hey, this is Ego and Vice, episode 60, and as you heard from the intro, I have a few people in the studio tonight,
super good.
And we're just fucking around, but
thanks for
things got weird technically, and I can't figure out how to like hook up the other microphone, so we're going to do this between the four of us with one microphone, so I'm just going to pass it around. It's called episode 60, pass around the mic.
Take the stairs, and... Yeah.
Well, you are one sexy son of a bitch.
Oh, jeez. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, pass the mic on the phone.
Yeah, let's do that.
No, well, I know
my
how that is, because, like, I was...
Color of that,
oh, there you go.
It's bright red.
Yeah, I know that, because I used to be, what, 300 pounds, pretty much. I was pushing 300. I was 290-something, and then my doctor said, oh, no, you got to do something, or you're going to die, and... You know, those, oh, yeah. Oh, holy shit. If I'd have treated my body like an asshole like I used to, holy shit, I'd be in the ground now.
Are you like a 2 liter of Pepsi kind of person?
Well, that was it. It was that I was living on my own. And you know what takes 5 minutes to make when you're living on your own is fucking spaghetti. And what goes better with spaghetti than a can
garlic
of Pepsi? And yeah, exactly. Garlic bread and cheese and shit like that. And I was just feeding myself garbage. And then, you know, signs of diabetes is being tired, and I'd be crashing on my couch at like 6:30 after having eaten a big plate of carbs and drinking sugar and thinking to myself, oh, man, I wonder why I'm so fucking tired. Yeah. Doctor slapped some fucking sense into me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little changes, though. You know, it's like you were saying, it's just little things. Oh no, I was a porker. I was like huge, and I was obese. Like I was, yeah. Terribly overweight.
Yeah, for me, hearing borderline obese, like hearing that was soon going to be my reality, was what made me wake up, I think, from the doctor telling me that.
Yeah, I think for me it was my doctor wasn't pulling any punches and said you're not gonna live past 40 if you keep that up, and I was like, yeah, okay, well, and hey, here I am, about to be 39. I'm about to fucking say, yeah, you know what, you know what else I was thinking about the other day too, is that at 39 I'm probably. And this is gonna sound fucking morbid, but at 39 I'm realizing that, you know what, I'm almost definitely past the halfway point right now
of life
right now. That's fucking weird to think about. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, it's definitely like a weird thing when you like honestly realize, like, Sheila is a young person. She's still in her 220s.
There you go.
But God, fuck it. Who's envious of that on this couch, right? Man. But you know what? The 20s were kind of a whirlwind. The 30s were kind of like, let's get our shit together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do your best. you do your best. That's all you can do. Nothing's going to like fall in your lap. It's all about putting work in life and just, you know, you're not always going to be happy. You're not always going to be sad, but you need to find a balance and you need to find those people around you that kind of like make you happy and stop dwelling on stupid shit. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Because you never know. Look at Mike. Look at him sitting there. He's going to die tonight. He might die like right now. This old cock. Look at him. Look at him. It's upsetting. All right, let's play a tune.
Teddy sleeping blue. He was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when they pulled the plug. 26 reds in a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia at 14 years old. He looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Those are people who died. Those are people who die. Those are people who die. Those are people who die. They're all my friends, they just died. Cheeburg and Georgie let their gimmicks go rotten, so they died of hepatitis in Upper Manhattan. Spy in Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night he was wed. There were two more friends of mine. Two more friends, they died. Those are people who died. Subway train, Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others, and I salute you, brother. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. They're all my friends when they die. Thought his rage was just some goof, but Herbie sure gave Tony some bitchin' proof. And Herbie said, Tony, can you fly? But Tony couldn't fly. Tony died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died. They're all my friends, just died. Brian got busted on a narco rap. By ratting on some bikers. He said, hey, I know it's dangerous, but it sure beats Rikers. But the next day, he got offed by the very same bikers. Those are people who died, died. 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 They're all my friends, they all died. On East 29, Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds in a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia at 14 years old. He looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. Those are people who died. They're all my friends. They just died. Cheeburg and Georgie let their gimmicks go rotten, so they died of hepatitis. Titus in Upper Manhattan. Sly in Vietnam took a bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wed. They were two more friends of mine. I miss them, they died. But those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. Those are people who died. They're all my friends, and then they died. Carrie took a dry dive from a hotel room. Bobby hung him from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. This song's for you, my brother. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died.
people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. They're all my friends, they all died. Those are people who died, 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 died. They're all my friends, and they all died.
Hey, did you ever see how they make cheese curds? Yeah, you've been there. Oh, no, yeah. Eh? Oh, no. No, Kayla went to the St. Albert's. Yeah, the St. Albert's thing the other day. And she says that she saw some cheese curd lasagnas over there. Well, I didn't know you did that with the cheese curds lasagna. Like, I know you did the lasagnas and things like that, but I didn't know you guys did the cheese curds ones. Those were cool. Yeah. Here.
Well, basically, what Paulie's talking about here is I have a fresh pasta business. It's called Cannelloni Brothers Fresh Pasta, and we do fresh lasagnas, and we sell them at St. Albert's.
They're
cheese.
Fucking great.
Whoa.
Everything's all homemade. Yeah, it's all good stuff. So.
What's the process of making those? What's the process of making those? Like when you.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Like I say, it's my brother who is actually running the place, and he does a fantastic job at it.
Everybody loves lasagna.
Where do the cocks get sucked?
Well, basically, the cocks get sucked in the back room there. Not in the kitchen. It's going to be a side. Yeah, right next to the kitchen there in the back room.
My eyes are bulging right now. I do not approve of this topic conversation. Oh my god, my voice. Sorry. I'm recovering from a cold. I do not approve of that as well. What did you just say? No, I was just like making a funny face with my teeth. That's what I was doing.
Did I ever hear that wrong? Oh my god.
Can you tell I'm in a group in a room with a group of men? Surely, no. Yeah, welcome to Ego and Vice. This has been really fun. You guys are hilarious. We're just like shooting the shit and like telling jokes.
Tell us where you're at with like your podcast. Like, what's going on? Like your video blogs and all that stuff. Your vlogs.
I'm just getting used to vlogging, getting comfortable behind the camera, getting comfortable really sharing my true self. And I had a bad habit of like thinking of what other people are going to want to see and what other people are going to like and trying to be a certain way to please other people. And now I try to capture myself in moments where I feel like I'm having fun and being happy and genuine. And I just post it, and I don't care if people look at it and go, oh, she's so weird, or, oh, I don't like that, or I don't care anymore. And so I've been vlogging a little bit on Instagram and like my stories, and I deleted Facebook 2 months ago. So I've pretty much just been on Instagram a little bit on Twitter, and then focusing on the podcast. And I got my brothers involved, so they've been helping me.
I remember when like a month ago or whenever it was, and that was a kind of a big thing for you where you said like, I'm gonna stop using Facebook for like a month, and now it's been 2 months.
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to react, like if I was going to really care or notice a big difference in my life. I can tell you, though, for the first week, I tried to open the app about 100 times, even though I deleted it from my phone. Like, I kept just taking my phone and trying to click for it, even though nothing was there, and that was annoying. But it only took a week of that, and then I stopped doing it. And now I just maybe spend more time on Instagram, but I don't miss Facebook at all. It's given me more time, and I find it's helped in the process I described earlier of just trying to be my true self and just sharing whatever I want to share instead of what I want people to see, what I think they want to see.
I think that's super brave, and it's super like nowadays where everything is like cell phones, social media. For someone like you who's 25 years old, 24 years old, says, oh, I'm going to get off social media, because that's the way you... Well, the Facebook is like the big one, right? I guess. For you to say like, I'm not going to do that anymore, and for you to stick with it for like 2 months, that's amazing. Like, I'm I'm old as a motherfucker, but and I still wake up every morning and like scroll through fucking Facebook, blah 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 blah. And but the thing I want to know is like, Mike, how do you deal with Facebook on a daily basis?
Well, let me tell you about Facebook. I have no idea what Facebook is, and I don't really care. Never was really interested in it. Last time I owned a phone too, I think was 2000. It was the old Motorola flip phone. Motorola. That was my last phone, and I don't care to have one.
How are the what? How are like searching out the old like Bell payphones these days?
God, they're getting scarce. They are getting scarce. There are no phones anymore. You're lucky to find one, and I've been pretty lucky.
They have a lot of them downtown for homeless people, actually, and that's the only people I ever see using payphones nowadays is homeless people downtown.
I say that with respect. I've never seen a homeless person ever use a phone. They've always got the cell phones. They all have. Cell
I hope
phones.
That's not offensive. I did not mean that in a mean way.
No, not at all.
That was the best.
I don't care. Really, I don't care. No, I'm glad I don't have a cell phone.
I don't care if I offended Mike. I just meant anybody else. No, I'm just kidding, man. Just so kidding.
I only see homeless.
So anyway, just to get you up to speed, our good guy, our good man, Mikey Knox, does not have a cell phone. Does not really use the internet. Maybe some email here and there. And he might surf the internet for like some porn. It's pretty much porn. So it's very common to look on my phone one day where I know that Mike's going to get a hold of me, and it says Bell payphone. I'm like, who the fuck is this? But then I think about it, and I'm like, oh, right. So, but you know what? In a weird way, that's kind of what I fucking admire about you. Because you just said, you know, social media is like everywhere. Sheila's like, fuck Facebook. You even before Facebook, you're just like, meh, I don't even want to go there. You don't even know what it is. That's the beauty of it. It's like you don't even know what it is.
Explain to us, like, as if we didn't know what Facebook is, even though you don't really necessarily. Tell us what you think it is. What's Facebook?
Facebook is a place where everybody goes and you could say how you feel almost every second of your life, and you, people know everything about you. Every second of your life, if you're on it, like chronically, like some people, and I don't understand why. I mean, it's.
He's right, though. He's right.
Can you explain one good thing and one bad thing about it?
Well, I think the good thing is there is no good thing. What's wrong with telephones? The old rotophones.
I love you. Okay. I love you so much.
You know, give me a call sometime. You know, we can talk sometime. Not all the time. Sometime.
What about you, Polly? Can you name one good thing and one bad thing about Facebook?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing is I, well, it, to me, you know, the good thing is about Facebook is being able to not have to talk to people that you don't really care about. You know, those people that you sort of know and you sort of want to keep track of how they're doing. You know, you care enough about them to think, oh, you know, I wonder what they're up to, but not enough to actually want to talk to them because you're sort of antisocial and you're an asshole a little bit. That's what Facebook is for. That's what Facebook is for pretending like you're keeping in touch with the people that you don't really care about. That's the good thing about Facebook. That's what it is.
What about the bad stuff?
Oh, the bad stuff? Everything else is bad. I'm on it just because other people are on it. Honestly, that's probably the only reason I still use it. I barely ever am on it. I've probably got 20 messages sitting there waiting for me from people, and it's not that, you know, I say, well, because I don't care about them, and you know, there are some of them that I do care about, and I'm sure they've sent me messages too, but they all have my number. And like Mike said, if they want to talk to me, they'll get in touch with me. They know my phone number, they'll call me. And that's, I don't know, Facebook is just such it's become such a weird place for people to just sit there and masturbate themselves and throw it online for other people to see. I don't know. Exactly.
I have a friend that I'm not going to name names, but he has these moments where like him and his family will talk about, like, yeah, it would be like, I just had the most amazing experience in my life, and my wife and my friends and everything, and everything's awesome, and blah, 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 blah. And this big, long, like, literal, like, tirade of, like, words. And then his dad will, like, punch in with, like, son, you are the light of my life, and everything you do makes me shine and feel so much better about shit. And then the sister will come in and be like, you guys are the men in my life. You, I don't know what I'd do without you. And it's just like, I love this guy. I love him. I love him to death. I love his dad. I love his sister. But it's just like, how the fuck do you go to sleep at night knowing that you put the entire world, like, in a fucking Facebook message, you know? I just don't get it. I don't get it.
All right, well, I'm going to, I have to disagree in a certain way, because that stuff is, like, I'm a sappy person, so I like looking at that stuff. But I adopt a little bit of that attitude whenever it's, like, a complete stranger that I don't know very well that I happen to have on Facebook. So then it gets back to, like, the vastness of it all. We have hundreds of people that we don't know very well, and we have these, like, detached feelings when we see, like, these amazing moments in their life. When if we, well, this is, you said this is a good friend of yours or a friend of yours, best, but I'm,
love,
yeah,
love,
yeah, and maybe that's just the sappy part of me that likes to see those things. But I think everybody has different degrees of how much sap they can handle, and yeah, that's just my take on it.
But, like, why on Facebook? Like, is it so hard to, like, pick up the phone and just say, like, dad, blah, blah, blah?
No, I agree with it, too. It's good to do that in a way, because obviously you want people that you care about and your friends to see, like, parts of your life. And, to, like I said, I like seeing that of my friends. But when you're only doing it on Facebook as, like, a virtue signaling thing of, like, look how virtuous I am, look how happy I am, if you're not doing it for the right reasons, it can get very shallow, and it's really hard to manage when it's right to post certain personal things on Facebook. Like, we were never taught that. We're just figuring out now how to live our lives virtually. So, yeah,
first of all, don't listen to Sheila at all, even though she has, like, a great, like, point. But she, like, abandoned Facebook. She abandoned us.
I just switched to Instagram.
Instagram. Anyway. All right, let's play a tune. Here we go. Okay, so we're back on Ego and Vice, episode 60. And one thing I really, 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 really want to just get out of the way is that let's talk some politics, Sheila. Me and Mike are gonna like hang back, but Polly and Sheila are gonna talk some politics. All right, let's go.
So you're allowed to talk about politics, of course, in the West, but as a rule of thumb, you generally don't start it with "let's talk about politics," because that's really scary to people. You know what I mean? Like, where do you start? There's so much going on in the world right now.
Let's talk about Donald.
You want to talk about the President of the United States?
Sure.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know where to start there. What a guy. It's very American politics are very interesting. I have to say I'm more interested in a way in American politics than Canadian politics right now. I don't want to say I'm more interested. It just seems like there's a lot more going on there that affects the world more, and people are talking about it more. Yeah. It's the media focuses on it. Even our media here in Canada focuses on it. And it's very different from what's going on in our country with our liberal government right now, and I have my opinions on that. So, yeah, what do you think about everything going on in the world?
About everything going on in the world. I was asked the other day by a coworker of mine. He comes into my office, and this much older than me gentleman was saying, man, you know, I don't know what these millennials see in this Donald Trump guy. And
you guys are gonna get along so
and I well, you know, well, and this guy was very much, you know, oh, I love this Obama character, was so great, and he just doesn't understand what people see in Donald Trump. And I said to him, okay, well, there's a bunch of different trains of thought on that. I'll tell you, one of my biggest ones is every politician I have ever seen in my life is a snake. Don't like them. Don't like any of them. Never liked any of them. And what I love about this guy is the fact that, you know what? If you're going to give a big fuck you to all the politicians in the world, what you do is you elect that guy. Somebody who's not a politician, somebody who very well might be doing all the dirty stuff that politicians do anyway. He might. Whatever. Point of the matter is that when you put somebody like that in that spot, you tell politicians, you fucking straighten up, or we're going to fucking cut out the middleman and just put somebody like that in charge. I like the guy. I like the fact that he's very much no bullshit at all, which every politician I've ever seen, full of bullshit.
You are fake news.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. And
who
it's
can call that out? What president in history has ever called out fake news like that? Well, I mean, it's a very modern thing because media is crazier than it's ever been, and they can manipulate stories and manipulate headlines and change things for what's really going on. And he called that out. So, yeah, no, when he said no bullshit, that's what I thought of. That's why I said that.
Well, that's exactly it. It seems like what most news and most media has become is just this kind of clickbait bullshit trying to get your attention so that they can make ad money, and that's all they care about. You know, the people say all the time, if you're not paying for something, you're not a consumer, you're the product. And so you see all these news organizations making all these clickbait bullshit headlines. You look at CNN, all they ever do is rip on Trump over the most ridiculous bullshit you ever seen in your life. And all they want is for people to pay attention to it. They want you to be outraged, and they want you to be so incensed by everything that you have to pay attention to them. It's all just, look at me, I'm talking about this ridiculous bullshit. It's what makes National Enquirer and that kind of shit popular, right? And that's sad that that's what it's become, because it's not about informing people anymore. It's about making money. Anyway, no, here.
No. I don't want to cut you off.
Well, it's not really cutting me off. I'm just kind of rambling at this point. But that's the kind of thing that he calls out, right? You see people all the time making these headlines about, oh, Russia collusion and all this other bullshit that they've been talking about for years.
It's been proved wrong. And those videos have not aged well. If you go back and you look at like the very like far left and liberal news outlets freaking out and making up narratives and changing stories and trying to fearmonger people, those videos have not aged well since it's been proven wrong that there was no collusion.
That's the worst part of it.
You can in the States, like, you tell Democrats to go and read the Mueller report, and they'll just be like, oh, well, you know, it's so long and I still don't believe, you know, that he is innocent and all that. And they just have these excuses, but they have nothing to back it up. It's just what they've been programmed to believe, because I actually share this in my Instagram story. I like this quote. totally like blanking right now.
It's okay. We'll edit that out.
No, we won't.
No, we won't.
Well,
Just do like Mike does and say, hey, Polly, tell us a joke.
It's not easy to oppose popular opinion.
Well, that's it. You know, they've done things like.
Sorry, guys, I was put on the spot. I got a little nervous there.
Well, no, but there's fuck examples. So many examples of people doing these experiments where they'll put somebody in a room and have everyone else in the room be actors and have some leader or some like teacher or something or some, you know, figurehead come out in front and start talking about something and ask everyone their opinion on some question. I'm just going to use a bullshit question, but they'll say, hey, what is 2 + 2? And all of the actors in the room will say 2 + 2 = 5. And the other one says 2 + 2 = 5. And then the one person that's not an actor, you get to that person and they look around and go, 5? Because they don't want it. Yeah, because they don't want to go against the group. They feel so weirded out by the fact that everyone else is saying this thing that they don't want to be the odd one out. And that's kind of what I mean. To me, that's the mental image that I get from what you're talking about is that kind of social experiment that's been done for sure. And that's the worst part of it is you get bombarded by all these similar stories coming from all these news media outlets, and you feel like you're in some kind of fucking bizarro world where everyone just kind of buys it. And if you don't, it's like they're trying to make you feel like you're the crazy one. And that's fucking weird to me. I don't like that. I don't know. To me, this whole crazy, crazy ride has been a whole plethora of instances where I look at what's being told to me and I listen to the guy speak and everyone says, oh, he's a fucking racist. Oh, he said this, he said that. And I listen to him talk and I say, no, he didn't say that. That's not what he meant. That's not what he said. The fuck you talking about? But they just buy it. They just believe it. And it's so crazy. If you see a picture associated with this podcast, I think it's being taken as I speak. No, but that's the worst part of it to me is that people just buy this stuff that's being they just open wide for this media jizz that just gets sprayed all over everybody. I know. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Anyway, that's how I feel about that stuff. How about you guys? Hey, Mike, how do you feel?
I'm really happy that you went on that tangent just to, say stuff that I don't really follow. I know this podcast, I try to stick to like local music and stuff like that, but I am also very, very happy to accommodate political things because the world is very much run by that. And, we're not getting ahead, we're getting behind. So. Okay. But I'm going to play a song and I'll be right back. Ego and Vice.
Cowboy fast. Well, he would string up your mama.
I'm going to pretend like we're just coming back from this. How about this? Oh, I can talk forever, so talk. Shit. Are we still, I guess we're still talking about politics then.
Candace Owens is.
I fucking love Candace Owens.
Isn't she so cool?
Oh my God, yes.
She's let's just
do this. Let's just do this and
no,
we'll
no,
both
no,
speak.
No, just interrupt
okay.
me. Like, put it to my mouth.
Okay. Yeah, well, what do you think about her?
Now I'm scared because like then it's going to lead into a little bit talking about feminism, and I always get a little bit scared when I get on that topic because so many young women that are in my friend circle or just in my community have that ideology, and I support them wholeheartedly, but I don't necessarily agree with it. And so I always get afraid when I have to comment on it and give my opinion in public because I don't want to lose friends or anybody to be mad at me. So I just want to make that clear whenever if I'm ever going to talk about feminism in a way that's that you don't agree with, like, please still be my friend, and even though we have different views. But Candace Owens is challenging ideas of modern feminism, and I think it's really important, it's really needed to help a lot of women find their place in life and to find meaning and live a happy life.
Personally, I don't care how many friends I lose over things like this, so I don't have any. Well,
I'm really struggling with that. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've lost friends over this kind of stuff. When I talk about it, I'm very, you know, blunt with my opinion. And I'm the kind of person that, you know what, if you don't like my opinion and you don't like me for that, then you can fuck off. And my opinion tends to kind of really rub people the wrong way when they get into that kind of really hardcore ideology like that. Because when people get too far into that, they lose sight of what the real point is. And when you talk about things like feminism, the real point of it is to be equals. Right. Everyone should be equals. Equality, exactly. And the problem with that is that there are people who really believe in equality. Those ones are cool. But then there are the ones that don't really believe in equality. They want equity, or they want equal rights, but they don't want equal responsibility, and they don't want the bad parts of equality. They only want the good parts of equality. That kind of person can fuck right off. I don't believe that. Well, let me give you this kind of example here. The good parts of equality, I think, are pretty obvious, right? You look at people having the, you know, equal rights and equal opportunities to do what they want to do. That part is great. But when you start to talk about things like the fact that a woman gets convicted for a crime, same crime as a man, and most of the time that woman gets a lesser sentence than a guy does. Well, and it's you know, it's not so much saying, well, we should give the point of the matter is that you look at this and you say, well, if you are fighting for equality, you should be looking to have a woman be treated the same as a man in these kind of situations. But it's the example of, you always see these certain kinds of feminists, right? Like I said, feminism is great. I agree with the idea of equality. But then you have some people who will say, we need equal representation of women in CEO positions. And you don't see those same people ever say, we need to see equal representation of women in garbage collection. You know, it's that kind of thing where you want equality when it's a good thing, but when you want it, if you don't want equality when it's also not a good thing, then fuck you, you're wrong.
Then we get into this whole like gender quota situation. For example, our prime minister was trying to put a certain number of women in office just to make people happy, and that backfired on him. I don't think it's a good idea to just put certain people in positions of power, or not positions of power, but higher positions just to fulfill some kind of equality idea.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
should work their way to get those jobs, and there are reasons why women don't dominate certain high positions, and because it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work, and you have to give up certain things about your life if you want to do those jobs. Yeah. And not all women are willing to do those things, and so there's a gap in certain senses. It's not a gender gap, it's a wage gap, and there's a difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's already illegal to not pay a woman the same as you pay a man that's already illegal. And it's not like these people, when they talk about these things, don't have legitimate issues either. Because you look at things like, well, okay, if you look at traditionally how a girl is raised versus how a boy is raised.
It's in their biology. Well, we're very agreeable. We're very open, and we don't want conflict. Exactly. So we won't ask necessarily for a raise, or we won't put ourselves in positions where we need to be overly assertive to get what we want. And not all of us, I'm not like trying to say all of us, but most of us are that way. So
right. And the people who say that this is a problem are correct. That's something that you look at. Well, maybe they're not, you know, the thing of it is that if it's a matter of how we raise a girl versus how we raise a boy, and we raise a girl differently than we raise a boy, and that gives a girl a different set of skills that might not translate into higher wages, then yeah, you know what? Fix that problem. But fix that problem at the root. Fix that problem by getting people to understand that when you raise a child, you should raise them with the same kind of core skill set. Maybe try and shy away from telling a girl that, no, you can't do this, and no, you can't do that. You know, that's the kind of...
Men are slightly more industrious.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you get to the point where you want to address that at the root. You don't address that by saying, "Well, we're gonna charge a man tax, or we're gonna pay men and women differently, or we're gonna use gender quotas and things like that." No, fix it so that the next generation of children aren't raised in that same way and don't think that same thing.
Here's a question for you. Yeah. So, maybe we'll just get back to Mike over here. It's Mike, right? I've got two mics right here.
he's not going to say anything.
No, I want to know your opinion. It's just as valid. Is gender a social construct? Or is it built in our DNA to have our genders?
All I know is that it's inequality. It starts from when you're a kid. It started with me when my grandmother had favorite grandchildren. She would always give a certain cousin more money than the rest of the family. She was a woman. I had two cousins. It was my uncle and his kids there that would always seem like my grandmother would always like them more. And that's basically, I think that's where it starts from.
Favoritism for no reason, or for reasons that aren't fair. Yeah, that happens a lot in life.
The parents bringing up the kids, it has to start right from their babies. They have to treat their babies with equality.
Yeah, and then you get people that become very authoritarian and they feel like they need to impose things on other people. And this has been Politics Hour. This has been a good debate, though. Like, we got a variety of different people here with different opinions, and we're all having a calm discussion and sharing different views, and it's good.
Well, I think the worst part of political discussion nowadays is when you get those people that say, "Oh, you're Hitler," and they just can't on either side. Those people who just can't sit down and have a rational discussion about something with people they don't agree with. That's the worst kind of thing in the world, in my opinion. And that's the worst part of the way that politics is nowadays, is that I might not agree with you. That doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. And especially I should be talking to you if I don't agree with you, because that's the only way that I can rationalize my own thoughts on things. That's the only way I'm ever going to get another opinion and test my own opinion against it. And when I look at what goes on nowadays, I find it so weird when you see all these people being censored and like, oh no, this person can't speak there because they're a bigot, and oh, this person can't speak here because oh, they're a Nazi. And it's so weird to think that you've got people who think it's okay to shut somebody up because you don't like their opinion. If your opinion can't stand up to their opinion, then your opinion isn't so great, is it? That's the worst part of that for me.
Do you know who Lindsay Shepherd is?
I do.
She's a young woman who was a teacher's assistant at Wilfrid Laurier University. She was studying there as well. I'm sorry, I don't know what exactly she was studying, but probably to be a teacher.
and doing a language class, and she showed a clip of Jordan Peterson speaking about gender and different pronouns and non-binary pronouns and things like that. And the university, the professors and students and the faculty like put her through the ringer just for showing a video, because so many people were offended by it when it had nothing to do with targeting anybody. There was nothing wrong with it. The poor girl, she's been through a lot. She's a fascinating woman. I'm super like moved by her. Yeah, that's just an example of the extreme political correctness that everyone's trying to force on everybody in our country right now.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. Well, that's one thing that that's another thing that I love about frankly about the people who, generally speaking, the people who support Trump. And that's because I find that they have no problems. You look at things like those Change My Mind videos from Crowder. I love those.
I was like giving you a fist bump. I adore those. They really make you think. And if you get enraged when you watch those because you're on not the opinion of Crowder, then you're just like those. And I used to, those people, and I used to consider myself like an SJW, kind of like that. And it's really not a good mindset to have. Like, you just believe in what you believe in. Don't get emotional. Have a different opinion than somebody. Have a debate with somebody. Try to change someone's mind. And that's why I like that.
Yeah, test your opinions with other people's opinions, and a lot of times you'll find that 9/10 of the people you talk to are reasonable human beings. Holy shit, imagine that. They're reasonable human beings, and they might have an opinion that's different than yours, but if you just sit there and say, "I'm deleting you off my Facebook and fuck you, I'm never talking to you again because I disagree with you on this subject," then, man, that's just asshole behavior right there. I can't understand. That's ignorant. That's ignorant. There's no bigger ignorant way to be than that to me. I can't understand it. That's not who I want to be. I want to have a debate, and it might be because I like to. You can ask anybody who I talk to. I like to have a good argument. I love it, but that's only because I know that if I have a good argument with somebody, I am testing my opinion against somebody else's. And as long as you go into it being open to having your mind changed, good. That's how things should be. That's how everyone should be.
And if you don't have your mind changed, all it's going to do is enforce what you already believe, which is the best part of it. And if anybody is like listening that's a leftist or that doesn't agree with me, or if you're a friend of mine and you don't agree with me, if you stay my friend, even though we have different views, I will appreciate that so much. And you have no idea how much I respect that, how much that means to me, and how much I value your like friendship and everything. So I just want to say that. Let's pass this over to Mike.
So Ego and Vice episode 60 really, really got off the rails, but what a great rail it got off of, because we got some really strong opinions of the way the world is right now from Polly J. Fox, from Sheila D. Mike said something about like stinky feet. I don't even know what the fuck he said. He said something. Just leave us with something.
Mike's best soundbite, and I'm going to say it on behalf of you because like it stood out to me and I wanted to bring it back up. You said you support whatever anybody wants to do as long as they don't force it on you. Yes. And that's a really good thing to believe in. So I'm like glad you said that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I'm Mike from Goat. I'm the drummer.
You are a fucking you're so crazy. Okay. I am not Mike, but I am in Goat, but I'm not the drummer. And that would be Ego and Vice, episode 60. We'll see you next week.
You got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker. Wanna raise the insanity, babe.